You're listening to KZSU, Stanford. Oh, no. Wait, oh. Okay. No, that's not the sound. This is definitely not what I had in mind. This is a Cranky Kid show. Once upon a time, there were three brothers. The youngest was called Dumbling, and he was teased all the time. One day, the eldest brother went into the forest to chop some wood. Before he left, his mother gave him a cake and a bottle of wine to take with him. When he went into the forest, he met a little old man, who greeted him and said,
"Good day. Please give me some cake and wine. I am very hungry and very thirsty."
And to this, the eldest brother replied,
"If I give you any, I shall have none for myself. Go away."
Later, as the eldest brother was chopping down a tree, the little old man secretly caused the axe to slip, and the blade cut his arm.
Ouch.
So the brother had to return home to get it wrapped in bandages. The middle brother then went into the forest, also with cake and wine. And in the forest, he also met the same little old man.
"Good day. Please give me some cake and wine. I am very hungry and very thirsty."
"If I give you any, I shall have less for myself. Go away."
Soon after, as the middle brother was chopping down a tree, the little old man secretly caused the axe to slip again.
Ouch, ouch.
And the blade cut his leg so badly that he had to be carried home. Then Dumbling said,
"Father, let me go and cut the wood."
But his father said no.
"You are too stupid to cut wood. You will get hurt just like your brothers."
But Dumbling begged and begged, so his father let him go, certain that his youngest son would get hurt, but then learn from the experience. The mother gave Dumbling a hard cake made with water and baked in the cinders, and also a bottle of sour beer. In the forest, he also met the same little old man.
"Good day. Please give me some cake and wine. I am very hungry and very thirsty."
"I only have cinder cake and sour beer, but if that's okay, we can sit down and eat it together."
They sat down, and when Dumbling took out his cake, it was now a fine, sweet cake, and the sour beer had turned into a fine wine. After they ate, the little old man said,
"Because you have a good heart, I will give you good luck. Cut down that old tree over there. It has something in its roots."
When the tree fell, Dumbling found a goose with feathers of pure gold sitting in its roots. He took the goose with him to an inn where he could spend the night. The innkeeper had three daughters who were all curious about the goose and wanted one of its golden feathers. When Dumbling went to his room, the eldest daughter went to the barn and tried to pull out a feather from the goose's wing. But her finger and hand stuck fast to the wing, as if glued. The middle daughter then came to pluck a feather, but as soon as she touched her sister on the arm, she became stuck fast to her, as if glued. When the youngest daughter came, her sisters tried to warn her away.
"Keep away! Keep away!"
But the youngest wouldn't listen. And when she touched the middle sister on her arm, she became stuck fast to her, as if glued. So the three girls had to spend the night in the barn with the goose, all stuck together. The next morning, Dumbling took the goose under his arm and took no notice of the three stuck sisters. He then set out for his home with the three sisters dangling along. On the way, a parson spied them. And he, being a parson, said to them,
"This is unseemly. You girls should not be running after this young man."
And the parson reached out to pull the youngest sister away, and his hand got stuck fast to her arm, as if glued. Before long, the parson's sexton saw them and called out,
"Your Reverence, where are you going? We have a christening today."
He grabbed the parson's arm, and he became stuck fast to the parson, as if glued.
Why?
Two laborers were passing by, and the parson begged them to help free himself from the sexton. But the first laborer got himself stuck to the sexton, and the second laborer got himself stuck to the first laborer, as if glued. Now there were seven people running behind Dummling and the goose. Soon after that, Dummling came to a city where there lived a princess who was so solemn and so serious that her father, the king, decreed that whosoever could make her laugh should marry her. So when Dummling heard this, he went to the princess with his goose and the train of stuck people following along after him. When the princess saw the seven people all stuck in a line and fumbling and jumbling and running behind Dummling, she began to laugh and laugh and laugh. She laughed so loudly that it seemed she would never stop. Dummling then asked for the princess to be his wife, but the king did not like the idea of a peasant marrying his daughter and made all sorts of excuses to get out of his promise.
"You must first produce a man who can drink a cellarful of wine."
Dummling thought of the little old man, so he returned to the forest and found the little old man looking very sad.
"I am so thirsty. I cannot stand water, and I have just emptied a barrel of wine. But that is but a drop on a hot stone for someone like me."
Dummling looked at him and knew the answer to his problem.
"Come with me. I know where you can get rid of your thirst."
Dummling took him to the king's cellar, whereupon the little old man drank and drank and drank until all the wine barrels had been emptied. Dummling again asked for the princess to be his wife, but the king really, really hated the idea that an ugly peasant called Dummling should marry his daughter. So the king came up with another request that he thought Dummling couldn't fulfill.
"Find me a man who can eat an entire mountain of bread."
Dummling again thought of the little old man and returned to the forest.
"I am so hungry. I have eaten an oven full of rolls. But what good is that to someone as hungry as me? My stomach is empty and I will die of hunger."
Dummling again knew the answer to his problem.
"Come with me. I know where you can eat yourself full."
Dummling took him to the king's palace and had a mountain of bread made. The little old man ate and ate and ate until, at the end of the day, the mountain of bread had vanished.
Wow!
Then Dummling, for the third time, asked for the princess to be his wife. But the king again tried to fend him off with a demand.
"Find me a ship that can sail on land and on water."
Dummling immediately returned to the forest. This time, the old man listened to Dummling, and then he said,
"Since you have been so kind and given me food and drink, I will give you this ship."
And when the king saw the ship, he could no longer refuse to give the princess to Dummling for his bride.
Yeah!
They wed, and after the king's death, Dummling inherited the kingdom and lived a long time, very happy and content with his wife. That was the Golden Goose from the Cranky Kids series, Grimly Speaking.
Stanford Parking and Transportation Services asks,
is having a good hair day worth a very real risk of paralysis, permanent brain damage, or death if you're involved in a crash on your bike?
Bike helmets reduce head trauma in the event of a collision by up to 85%. Love your brain, wear a helmet. Learn more by visiting bike.stanford.edu.
And now, everyone, it's
time for cows!
A cow breed started in Texas? Today we are talking to the Santa Gertrudis.
Tell me again what year it was.
Oh, somewhere around 1910.
And it was at the King Ranch in Kingsville, Texas?
Yep. One of the gentlemen there became interested in Brahman cattle. Figured a jolt of Brahman could maybe make their range cattle a mite better.
So they mated a half-bred shorthorn Brahman with some purebred shorthorn females?
Yep, that they did. After about 8 years, their descendants were such good-looking cattle that the King Ranch took a go at crossbreeding shorthorns and Brahmins.
Were the Brahmins purebred?
Nope. The young bulls they used were 3/4 and 7/8 Brahmin.
So what's that? Everything but one hind leg and a hip?
Ha ha.
Seriously, how do they determine a number like that?
I have no idea. As far as I'm concerned, it's like trying to count cactus needles.
And your name?
What about my name?
Monkey Business. What kind of name is that for a cow?
All present-day Santa Gertrudis cattle can be traced back to a foundation sire named Monkey.
Monkey?
Monkey.
Monkey.
It gets hot in Texas.
It must.
It's now time for Hemi Demi Semi Quaver. We open our musical chest and we find a piano piece by César Franck, a composer, pianist, organist, and music teacher, who was born in 1822. He lived mostly in Paris until his death in 1890. This piece is entitled Puppet's Complaint. Thank you. Now we'll play this piano piece using the accordion as the voice. The accordion also uses a keyboard for playing. This is a very different sound. It's richer, it's fuller. Sounds like being in Paris and strolling the streets in the evening, stopping by cafes and saying hello to friends. Now we're going to play the same piano piece with two different instruments. We'll use the Russian balalaika, playing the treble clef, and the guzheng, playing the bass. The balalaika is a stringed instrument played like a guitar. It has a triangular body and three strings. The guzheng, or Chinese zither, is also a stringed instrument that is plucked. It has 18 or more strings and also movable bridges. As you can hear, the piece becomes more airy and delicate by using these stringed instruments as the voices. Now we're going to fully orchestrate the piece using the piccolo, the French horn, the bassoon, the tuba, and the celesta. Doing this makes it sound as though you're out in the English countryside, enjoying a fine day. Finally, let's let the abstract and the random take over. We're going to assign two software voices. One is called Circuit Dialogue and the other is called Martian Lounge. And what it does to this piano piece is just beautiful. So what if, just for fun, we took all of these different orchestrations and just cut them all up and played them all through the piece? So let's do that. And now we close the musical chest of Hemi Demi Semi Quaver.
A louse and a flea kept the house together.
Happy noises, happy noises, happy noises.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
One day they decided to brew beer in an eggshell. Suddenly, the little louse fell into the hot beer and burned herself. So the little flea began to weep loudly. Then the little door began to creak. Hearing this, the little room in the corner said,
"Why are you creaking, little door?"
"I'm creaking because a little louse has burned herself and a little flea is weeping."
So the little room began to sweep frantically.
Sweeping sound.
Just then, a little cart was passing by and said,
"Why are you sweeping, little broom?"
Sweeping sound in the background.
"I'm sweeping because the little louse has burned herself, and the little flea is weeping, and the little door is creaking."
"Then I will run."
As the little cart ran, it passed the little funnace. The furnace said,
"Why are you running so, little cart?"
"I am running because the little louse has burnt herself. The little flea is weeping. And the little door is creaking. And the little broom is sweeping. And the little cart is running."
"Then I will burn furiously."
"Burning sock."
A little tree stood next to a little furnace and it said,
"Little furnace, why are you burning so?"
"I'm burning because the little louse had burned herself and the little flea is weeping and the little door is creaking and the little broom is sweeping and the little cart is running. Then I will shake myself."
Leaf shaking.
The tree shook so hard that all its leaves fell off.
Dun, dun, dun.
A little girl was walking past and she said,
"Little tree, why are you shaking so much?"
"I'm shaking because the little louse has burned herself and the little flea is weeping and the little door is creaking and the little broom is sweeping and the little cart is running and the little furnace is burning."
"Then I will break my water pitcher." Glass breaking.
A little spring next to the girl said,
"Little girl, why have you broken your water pitcher?"
"I've broken it because a little louse has burnt herself, and a little flea is weeping, and a little door is creaking, and a little broom is sweeping, and a little cart is running, and a little furnace is burning, and a little tree has shaken all its leaves off."
"Oh ho, then I will begin to flow."
So the little spring began to flow violently, and in the water everything was drowned, the little girl said.
"Ooh."
The little tree
cracking
when it cracked. The little furnace. The little cart.
Blah 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 blah.
The little broom.
Sweep.
The little door.
Bang.
The little flea. And the little louse.
Darn.
All together, just like that.
Wait, the little.
That's so sweet.
That was The Louse and the Flea from the Cranky Kids series Grimly Speaking, with scripts based on the tales collected by the Brothers Grimm.
We of the planet Moo have no more milk. We must have milk or we will perish.
This just in. All milk in New York City has disappeared. The mayor is furious. A full investigation is now underway. From Wall Street, Starbucks stock is falling steadily.
Reporting here in the Midwest, elementary schools cannot find any milk. Mothers everywhere are starting to panic. The question everyone is asking, why bake cookies anymore?
The entire West Coast is milkless, and the cows look confused. A Hooves Across America movement has started.
An emergency meeting at the United Nations has just started, and there are no cappuccinos in sight. Italy threatens to withdraw.
Babies are crying. Cereal executives are falling out of windows left and right, right and left. Panic!
This is a job for the men in milk. Dairy defenders.
Milk is disappearing from all over the world.
We must find the mayor.
Tell us, Madam Mayor, what has your investigation uncovered?
Which one?
Concerning the milk.
Where's the milk?
Well, now, that depends on what your definition of milk is.
But let me say this about that now. However you define milk, and if whatever you define as milk has in fact disappeared, then I want to say that no one in my administration had anything to do with it, if it happened. Otherwise, in response to your question, we are making great progress. We have formed a task group, which has formed a working group, which will be reporting directly to me as mayor. I will then report to you. I can tell you that much now.
Right. Thank you. You've been a great help.
Yes, we can always count on your office to clarify things and move things along.
You're welcome.
Now that was useless. Got any more bright ideas?
How about the East Side Twins? They always have info.
Well, speak of the devil.
How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing? What you want with the East Side Twins?
Yeah, what you want?
The milk is gone.
So we heard.
Yeah, so we heard.
Well, do you know anything about it?
Who, us?
Yeah, who, us?
Is there an echo in here?
Listen, we might know something and we might not.
Yeah, we might and we might not.
Well?
This is about the milk, right?
Yeah, the milk.
We don't know nothing. We're lactose intolerant.
So we don't care, see? See you around.
Yeah, see you around.
Another brilliant idea.
The cows are still here.
We'll go to the cows.
Who has been stealing all your milk?
Moo Man.
Whoop-de-doo, we're off.
By the way,
nice hair.
Stop the car. There's an interplanetary milk conference going on downtown.
Moo Man always attend milk shows.
Right, but how will we ever pick them out of the crowd?
They will never suspect us disguised as Italian dairy scientists.
Yes, and soon we will have all their milk.
Not so fast.
Yeah, not so fast.
We heard every word. Who are you?
Buongiorno, we're Italians.
Yes, buongiorno, we are Italian dairy scientists.
If that's true, then how do you say milk in Italian?
Just as we thought. Moo Man.
We did? When did we think that?
Don't you remember in the car?
Aren't you a little young to be driving?
And sure.
Shut up.
Okay.
That's it. We're taking you back to Planet Moo.
But we'll die without milk.
We'll go with you.
What are those?
Cows, you idiots. Where do you think milk comes from?
Supermarkets.
Take these cows and go home.
Yeah, and take a biology teacher with you.
Another disaster averted by the Men in Milk, Dairy Defenders.
And I know just the biology teacher they should take.
That was Men in Milk, Dairy Defenders, Chapter 1. Recorded live, everywhere, radio and theater, over many performances. We really wish we had better audio, but we don't. This brings us to the end of the Cranky Kids Radio Show. More information about Cranky Kids can be found at crankykids.com. That's cranky with a K, crankykids.com. Until the next time, everyone stay well and do have fun. Bye now.